the lectionary without having the context. So I just want to give you a little bit of context. What Peter was seeing was a reaction to something that had just happened that day. Peter and John were going to the temple, and there was a crippled beggar that people would move to the doorway in where people were coming to temple, and they would set him there, and people would offer him money for his survival. So Peter and John are coming to temple. This is post what we just heard about in the gospel. They're arriving at temple. They are well aware of the risen Lord. And this man is putting his hand out. Peter's like, "We have nothing to give you." I mean, let's be honest, they have been out of work for like 3 years following Jesus around. And he's like, paraphrase, he's like, what do you think we're going to give you? He goes, "But I have this for you." He says, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he did. He got up and he walked. We presume he went into temple with them and they worshiped and they heard the teachings. And then they were sort of outside in Solomon's portico. Who knows? Maybe it was coffee hour.
Could have been.
And this beggar is still there clinging to John and Peter. And the people who saw what happened are all going, "Whoa, look what they did." And that's what he's starting to understand. So when he says, when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. See, they were astonished. They're like, "I can't believe this has happened." And Peter is mildly confused. And he says, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" How do you get this confused? How is this you think that we've done anything? And they're not grasping it. See, they're moving the way in which Jesus told them they would move in this time. Ask and it'll be given to you. There's power in the name of Jesus. They asked in the name, told him in the name of Jesus to get up, and he did. And the people around are confused. And so Peter's a little bit confused, so he kind of lays this truth on them. And lets them know, it's not us. Now, he goes on a little bit in verse 12, or beyond 13 through 15, basically. And it's important for us to remember something here. Because sometimes we hear these words in this day and age, and people say, "That's anti-Semitic. We shouldn't talk about Jewish people this way." So here's a little heads up. And this one scholar I was reading kind of nailed it. He goes, this is a Jew talking to Jews about a Jew. These are all Jewish people. They had just gone to synagogue, or to the temple together. Sorry, they were a little closer to Jerusalem. We would go to synagogue if we were Jewish here. But the Lord, here they were, having been to the temple together, they all saw the crippled beggar standing and walking. They watched him go over to the portico, still hanging out with his new friends, without a doubt. And they should know these things, and they don't seem to understand what's happening. And so Peter starts to lay some truth on them to help them understand what's really going on. He says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." That covers everybody. Yeah, same God. He's digging back through the generations. "The God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus." That's what they really just saw. They're trying to give glory to Peter and to John. And he say, "No, this is God glorifying Jesus, his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the Author of Life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. So everybody knows what happened. They've all been there in Jerusalem. They have seen all that had carried on with Jesus in his triumphal entry, I'm sure everyone talked about, and then his ultimate arrest, conviction, crucifixion, and now they're all dealing with the reality of the resurrection, although some are dismissing that truth. Peter is saying to them, you should know this. Well, you should know this, brothers and sisters. We were literally just in the temple together, undoubtedly hearing from the prophets, where they speak over and over again of the Messiah and what the Messiah would look like and the way in which he would move. And here is your living, well, now risen evidence of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. How do you not understand what you're seeing? So Peter is probably equally confused. But the real struggle is that his faith community, his brothers and sisters, his fellow Jews, are holding on to what they think they know. They're still waiting for the Messiah, although the scriptures and the physical evidence would say, here is the Messiah. They are still holding on to what I like to refer to the comfortable truth. See, because as long as everything is the same, I can stay the same. But if this Jesus is truly the Messiah, everything is different, amen? And we may say, well, that's good teaching for that time in your life, in that first century, you have this risen Lord and this understanding of Jesus as Messiah. As Christians, we're like, of course. But brothers and sisters, how many of us still cling to our own comfortable truth while actually proclaiming Jesus as our Savior? How often do we look at our own lives and say, yeah, I like this life and I can move in this and I can, let me make sure I'm going to be okay and I'll just get my foot in the door of the church and that should be good enough. Amen? See, I'm safe because, see, I got a foot in here. Although the rest of me is still out here in the world, I got my foot in the door just in case this is really true. And then if it's really true, the door's open. I can just jump in at the last minute. Now, this is the way Christianity was actually lived for a time. Constantine, amen? Yeah. Sort of legalized Christianity. Funny thing, not baptized. Why? Because he was afraid he would be baptized and then he would sin and then he would die. And then he wouldn't be able to enter in. So somebody stuck with him just in case he was going to die in battle so he could be baptized last minute just before he died. That kind of left out the concept of grace, didn't it? Well, brothers and sisters, we live in a time of grace. We choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior. By his grace, we are able to do that. By his grace alone, we may actually enter into the body of Christ through baptism. And then we still try to keep a foot in the door a little bit. Because, man, the world is really fun. And this whole Christianity thing looks like I have to leave everything else behind. So we live in our comfortable truth and we fear the truth. Not unlike these people who are looking at Peter and John and thinking, look at this amazing thing that they did. This person we've all known for however long that we pass by every time we go to temple, sitting there unable to walk, is now walking with these two men who just simply looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he did. Peter's trying to convince them, the truth has been before you the whole time in the Word. Yet when you see it, you turn away from it. How is this happening? Now, Peter honestly must have been the greatest preacher in all of Christianity. You see, he's already, this is his second sermon in Acts. See, his first one happened on Pentecost. Thousands of people come. And when he gets done with this section in Acts, another 5,000 people will come to know Jesus and follow him as Lord and Savior. And as I mentioned at earlier service, we should probably get him in as a guest preacher. Better yet, we should probably take him down to the mall or someplace wherever people are gathering, and because they're probably not going to come see him either. Yeah, okay. But the fact of the matter is, he's speaking truth, and that is why people are hearing truth. See, their eyes are being opened up to the reality of what Scripture has said and what is being played out before their very eyes. The same thing happens for us, but we still try to deny it. Amen? We see things that go well and we go, oh, that was good. And then we things that go bad and we go, God, where are you? To which he's probably saying, I'm right here, same place I was when it was going good. Question is, where are you? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Where are we in this understanding? How are we hearing what Scripture says? Verse 16 tells us, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. We see God move in our lives, don't we? We hopefully have some understanding of God's word. So if all these things actually come together, are we following or are we sticking with our comfortable truth that doesn't require us to change anything? Are we going to just keep a foot in the door just in case so we can jump in at the last minute? Are we going to know that, well, maybe in the end I'll be sure I'm going to be okay in the end? Or what if I chose to be okay today? What if rather than wait for just in case, what if this is actually true? What if I actually begin to live my faith in the strength and the power in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit working in me and through me and choose this life that Christ has given us through his very body and blood? If we know our scriptures, one of my favorites that I dug up for this occasion, it's not in the lectionary, it's out of John, it's chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus is speaking, and he says this to those who are following him. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Well, Jesus has gone to the Father. You may have heard the story over the last couple weeks. In a couple more weeks, by our calendar, the Spirit will be breathed out onto the church, into the church. Well, that's where we live. The question is, do we hear it? Do we actually believe it? I'm going to give you a little inside. And maybe you've done this. We pray for something, and we're not sure it could actually happen, because we really don't know. God decides, not us. But then we just say, if it's your will. Okay, now let's ask ourselves, why did I say that? That's a foot in the door, just in case. And then I don't feel bad if it doesn't happen. Well, brothers and sisters, sometimes it just doesn't happen. Trust me, this I know. All of you know it. We pray for things, they don't happen. God's ways are not our ways, and we have to trust in that. We don't have to like it. And I could give you a very long list of times when I didn't like his answer. But I have to trust in it anyway, because I do believe all these other things to be true. God has a bigger picture than we do. He knows why he does the things he does. We do not. I'd like to say one day it'll be revealed to us, but in the day in which that's revealed, quite frankly, we're not going to care. We're just going to be worshiping in his presence. Amen? All of our doubts and all the rest will be gone, and it won't matter to us anymore at that time. But listen to the word of God. We either believe it or we don't believe it. We either move in it or we don't move in it. But often, most of us, myself included, will find ourselves trying to do a little of both, right? How do I kind of stay firmly in the world, you know, the real world, and then this concept of my faith? I think the best we can get to is we spend more time in the context of our faith and a little less time in the real world, because we discover that that is reality. Just as those who are listening to Peter today are think they're going, he's right. Isn't this exactly what the prophet Isaiah said was going to happen to the Messiah? And here's this Jesus, and everything that the prophet said, we just saw it happen. And then the things that which Jesus was teaching while he walked among us, and the things that we heard about, that he was going to the Father and he was going to send an advocate, and that we would do the things that he was doing as we watched him heal and as we watched him proclaim the good news of the gospel and the love and the mercy and the grace was pouring through him. And then he said that we would do those things and more, because he was going to the Father. See, we're on that side of it now. And people are hearing truth and they're saying, that's good enough for me. I'm going to trust, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to walk in this. And they're discovering a life that they didn't know was even possible. Isn't that really why we're here today? To discover more of that truth. And that is exactly what Peter's trying to say to them, and that's why so many will come to know Christ when he preaches, because he is laying out the evidence. It's there before them. So, brothers and sisters, I stand here before you as Peter stood before his people, one of their own, speaking of the one that they, who was one of their own. I stand here as one of your own, with my own struggles and my own faith and my own up and my down and my in and the out, and sometimes I got my toe in, sometimes I'm all the way in. But brothers and sisters, I can tell this, the more times you walk fully in, the less time you want to spend out in the world, the real world. You want to live in the presence of God, you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you want to be saved in the name of Jesus, amen? And you want to know that when you pray in that way, the Lord is going to hear you, and he is going to bring that which you ask for, although it may not be the way you expect it to look. It's still coming. So you better watch that. I knew a guy, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, that prayed to God and just, he came to know Jesus in a better way, and his prayer was, Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. And here I stand. So be careful, because he hears you. Been doing a little Curcio stuff lately, although we didn't do this song yesterday. They'd like to do that song, Here I Am, Lord. Everybody's raising their hand, Here I Am, Lord. And I just stand back and go, I bet you don't know what you're doing right now. Are you really here? Because if you keep telling God, Here I Am, Lord, he's going to say, well, come on then. And isn't that what we really want? But we can only really get into that when we step out of the real world and into the truth, that our perceived comfortable truth, which, by the way, is not the real world. The real world is what Jesus is proclaiming to us. That is the kingdom. And if you don't like the way that looks, you have no desire to come any closer to Jesus, because that's eternity. That's what we're moving toward. And if that's what we want, then let's start now. Amen? Let's have that now. We'll still have our ups and downs. We're still going to have our struggles, we're still going to have our doubts, but man, we got each other then. We can hang on to each other and say, nope, still true. I know you didn't like the answer, I didn't either, but it's still true. Still true. The peace is still going to come, and we can hold it. So I stand here, one of your own, preaching the truth of who this Jesus is. And if you want to debate that with me, please call me. I long for the conversation. I'm praying this day that we'll all abandon our fear and our concerns, our pride, our schedules and our calendars, and worldly expectations. I pray that this day we'll choose to get all in. Let's just step into the kingdom life that's given to us through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ today, so that we can grow more fully into the people God intended us to be. Teaching, preaching, learning, moving, proclaiming, praying, and asking in the powerful name of Jesus for the coming of his kingdom and his glory. See, the lesson for those who are listening to Peter on this day that we hear about in the book of Acts is the same lesson for us today. As we sit here today, Jesus is real. The scriptures tell us so. The evidence is before us. We can prove it in our own lives and in others' lives, and it aligns with the scripture from all the way back to the prophets. And then coming forward through the New Testament, all that Jesus promised, we can see and we can experience and we can know that transforming truth. So the lesson is, know the Word of God. Know your God. So that when you see him moving, even today, you'll know it's him. And no one else. Amen.